More than a decade ago, I remember when the movie Pleasantville was released. It was a movie that both disturbed me and fascinated me. In case you didn't see it, it's a movie about two modern-day teenagers who are fighting over the TV, surprise, surprise. And one of the teenagers is hooked on a show called Pleasantville, which is shown all in black and white, and it's a show about a town where everything is perfect and everybody maintains everything just the way it is in terms of the status quo. So in the middle of their fighting over the TV, they get zapped into the town, right? So they end up there and they have become the main characters of this show. So they are the main teenagers in this town called Pleasantville. And so instantly, the brother, so it's a brother and sister that end up on the set, the brother wants the sister to do everything so that nobody knows they're not the real Pleasantville teenagers. But of course, being the sister that she is, that doesn't last very long. And what happens is that they introduce passion into this little town of Pleasantville. And every time somebody feels passion, their character becomes in color. And so everybody else knows that they're a little bit different, and they kind of look at them with sort of this curiosity because they are now in color. And so you can imagine what happens over time and in the course of the movie is that those who are living in black and white, those who are living without color, do everything they can to make sure that everything stays the way it is. They do not want Pleasantville to change. And so every time somebody living in color pops up somewhere else, they feel threatened by that. Well, it both fascinated me and disturbed me because on the one hand, it seemed like an invitation to me to live in color, because I was certainly much more like somebody on the set of Pleasantville. I was doing all I could to maintain the status quo. I was certainly a peacemaker. I wanted to be seen as one of the good ones. And so I was fascinated by these people who could live in passion. So I wonder where you are this morning. Now, it's not so helpful to think of ourselves as either or people. Either we're living in color or we're not. Probably what's more realistic is that in some areas of our lives, we are living in color, and in some areas in our lives, we are not. And so what are those areas for you? In what areas of your life are you living in color, living with passion for what you're doing? And in what areas are you living simply to go through the motions or to maintain the status quo? Now, it's rare that any of us could live in passion in all areas of our lives. In fact, it is quite common that there are areas in which we are putting great passion and areas in which we're simply maintaining. And those two things are often in balance. So one of the questions for you then would be, are the areas that you're living in passion the areas you want to be living in passion? And are the areas in which you're simply maintaining the areas in which you really are just simply wanting to maintain? Or are you out of balance in some way? Now, part of what the movie portrays is that passion in and of itself is not necessarily a good thing. We see that with the Pharisees in our story this morning. They certainly were passionate about their rules and traditions. And so we have this scene in which Jesus is just about ready to throttle them. This incredible thing has happened. They have fed all these people. It's been a miraculous event, what we would call a mountaintop experience. You know, you can imagine, you've all had those times where you felt like you were exactly where you should be, when you should be, doing exactly what you should be doing, and it feels so incredible. And I'm sure that's how Jesus and the disciples were feeling. And then the Pharisees travel a long distance, over 100 miles, to get to Jesus to say, excuse me, but your disciples did not wash their hands before they fed all those people. I mean, really, can you just picture Jesus? Like, I can just picture the steam coming out, you know? Sort of the, you must be kidding me. And so Jesus kind of lashes out at them. The disciples say in the next part of the text, what you said offended them. Well, no wonder. Sometimes they needed to be offended. They were passionate about their tradition, and Jesus is trying to tell them, you just missed the whole point. You missed the whole thing. If you're thinking about whether somebody's hands were washed, you really don't get it. And that's when Jesus says, you know, it isn't about what goes into your mouth, whether it's clean or unclean or washed or unwashed. What really matters is what's in your heart. And so even the Pharisees should have known that more important than anything else was loving God and loving neighbor. So how could they miss that? Worrying about whether hands were washed. Well, probably pretty easily, because they were passionate, weren't they? They were passionate about those rules and that tradition, and they really believed that those were the things that would bring somebody closer to God. And so in the movie Pleasantville, one of the things we see is that as people begin to feel passion, it isn't all necessarily for the good. And so there is this scene where when people begin to be seen in color, all of a sudden it's as though racism exists for the first time. And so it becomes those who are in color versus those who are not in color. And the angrier these people that are not in color get about these people who are in color, they begin to be in color because they're feeling passionate about their fear and their anger. And so somehow the trick is this. The trick is feeling passion and at the same time having our hearts be aligned with God in some way so that our passion is from God. I can remember the first time I met with a spiritual director. She asked me 2 questions. She asked me, what is the longing in your heart for God? And then the second question she asked me was, what is the longing in God's heart for you? And I had no idea the answer to either one of those questions, which is what told me it was a good thing I was seeing a spiritual director. I had a lot of work to do. And in that same meeting, she said this to me, I just need to give you a warning. She said, you know, when you seek God, when you really want to know what is the longing in your heart for God and what is the longing in God's heart for you, it is not an easy journey. And in fact, it's a journey that could turn you upside down and inside out. And it might be the hardest thing you've ever done. And I want to warn you that you will not be the same at the end of this journey. And her warning turned out to be true. It is quite something when we decide as individuals that we are going to seek God with all of our hearts. It is quite something when we decide we are going to do more than just maintain or keep up the status quo. It is quite something when we decide to let go of our safely constructed lives and move out beyond all the rules and beyond what's right and wrong to a place of passion, a place where passion and God come together. We do not return the same when we do that. The question for us this morning is not, who are we more like in this story? Are we more like the Pharisees or are we more like Jesus? That's not the question for us. The question goes deeper than that. The question really is, how is your heart? How is your heart? Is your heart sad? Is your heart full to overflowing? Is your heart clear, confused? Are you grieving? Are you angry? Is there bitterness in there somewhere? Have you been hurt? Is your heart broken? Is your heart in the process of being in color and expanding and growing? Are you in love? How is your heart? What is in your heart is going to be what will come out in your life. Sometimes, whether you want it to or not. I have told you that I worked at a middle school for 3 years, and the philosophy was a very specific philosophy. And one of the four R's that we were supposed to live by was responsiveness, working for the good of the whole. Well, let me tell you how that played out. The principal, who was a fabulous woman and a great mentor for me, would call us on it, those of us who were on the staff, if we began to argue vehemently for one thing or another. And this is how she would say it. She would say, "It sounds like you're on a position. What's going on that you're on a position?" And boy, you could just see every single person that was ever asked that question would sort of do one of these. Because none of us ever wanted to have to think about that. And she would say, if you're working for the good of the whole, then you don't need to be on a position. So what's your position about? And she would work with us and work with us and work with us until we could identify. It's fear, it's stubbornness, it's power, it's whatever it is, and it was always something for us. And she would try to work with us in such a way that we could get off of whatever the position was. What she was really trying to do was get us to look at, how is your heart? Because when you get so stuck on something to the point where you put your foot down and you stomp and you say you want it your way, something is going on in your heart. You can imagine all the areas in our lives that happens. at work, in families, in any kind of community situation, certainly in parenting. All those times when we just want to hold on and boy, it had better be my way. How's your heart? Sounds like you're on a position. It's something that has remained with me, and there are times when I find myself in a meeting and I'll say, Beth, it sounds like you're on a position. What's going on? And I try to do this kind of quick run through. What's going on? Why am I on a position? And inevitably, it tells me something about what's in my heart. So part of what we're after here is seeking God in such a way that our passion partners with God, so that it isn't just about us and whatever thing might be in our heart. Because again, we bring it all with us. So when we try to pair our heart with God's heart, then it can be an amazing thing, and then 4,000 people can be fed, or other miraculous things. What is the longing in your heart for God this morning? What is the longing in God's heart for you? What is the longing in our hearts as a community? And what is the longing in God's heart for us as a community? I want to end with a poem this morning. It's called The Heart Prayer by Elizabeth Cunningham. You can only pray what's in your heart. So if your heart is being ripped from your chest, pray the tearing. If your heart is full of bitterness, pray it to the last dreg. If your heart is a river gone wild, pray the torrent. Or a lava flow scorching the mountain, pray the fire. Pray the scream in your heart, the fanning bellows. Pray the rage, the murder, and the mourning. Pray your heart into the quiet hands that can hold it, like the small bird it is. Amen.